is the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet line change. Now, back to Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
The 5 o'clock hour of the line change, the 5 o'clock happy hour, is brought to you by Bud Select, brewed for the Lou. The Blues getting set to open their first round playoff series against the Wild in Minnesota tomorrow night. Joining us now to preview it is Kelly Chase, Blues broadcaster on the Ryan Kelly phone lines.
Chasse, what's up?
How's it going, boys?
Going good, man.
And ladies.
Ooh, we're still trying to figure that one out, but I appreciate that, Chaser. Chaser said hi,
Hannah. The only reason I went on the show is because I heard, don't kid yourself.
Yeah. Trust me, we know that, Chaser.
See you guys.
We know that. Don't you worry. What are you doing, man? Were you you in Minnesota?
Just landed, yep.
Did
just
you
cut into the hotel. Just cut into the hotel. Might go down and see if there's a lounge here.
Would you do fly with the team still?
Yes, sir.
So you're right by the hotel, right by the rink, eh?
Yeah, St. Paul Hotel, beautiful spot.
Oh, it's a beautiful spot right there. You can walk right to the rink. It's nice, man.
Yep.
Yeah, you got a pretty good gig, eh? Like, that's nice. You get to fly in early, go to dinner tonight, do your thing, watch a game, fly with the team. You don't get to play cards with the guys anymore, do you?
No. That was like an automated teller. It was awesome, and then they cut it off.
Oh, he would make...
My wife could never figure out how come all of a sudden I started going to the bank machine so much. I said, because they won't let me play cards anymore. Jansen's no longer here, and I had nobody to supply me with the cash.
Well, these guys, remember, I always tell them I would be in the back. I'd force myself in the back of the plane to play cards, and you're paying money to hang out with the older guys in the back of the plane. So I was paying Chaser out just to hang with them. That's how pathetic I am.
Hey, listen, the truth is, it was none of those lessons on a plane or a bus were ever free for any of us, okay?
You're right.
It's the same thing as going to school, man. You got to pay for it. Education is not free.
That's a great way to look at it, Chaser. You're right. I paid for my education. You gave me my education. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. God. So what's going on, man? Look, this is these teams match up pretty well against each other. I mean, they're both pretty damn deep. I mean, obviously, Minnesota has some scoring power. They got waves that come at you. What are the Blues need to do to jump on this series, Chaser? I mean, what do they need to do as a whole?
Well, listen, there's got to be contributions from everybody. They're going to pay more attention to Vladdy than they have. And look, you know, they do have more scoring. They added 60 goals with Hanzel, Stahl, and Stewie to their team from last year. So there's guys that have been bumped down to a lower education class and Hall, and some of those guys, the fourth line guy with 16 goals, I think. So when you're looking at this lineup in Minnesota, you certainly see that there is depth. Now, they haven't been exercising some of the demons they've had in the past very well, and I think that the Blues still can, you know, they've got a coach that's educated with them because he was here for so long, so he knows a lot of the guys. And I think the Blues, you know, can go about being, they're the only ones that don't believe they're the underdog, so that's a good thing. And I think that whole, you know, the whole process of playoffs and what they went through last year, it's going to help them. And I, you know, even though there's a lot of guys that didn't get the same type of experience and there's a lot of new bodies, I think for some of them, you know, the peaks and valleys seem to steady out a little when you've gone through what they did last year.
No doubt about it. And I was thinking about this. There's always some sort of X factor on each team. And we were discussing this, and I believe that David Perron could be an absolute X factor in this series and in the playoff as a whole. He's in front of the net. He wins battles in the corners. He's got a little grit to him this year. Hey, Chaser, he's pissing guys off a little bit. He took a little bit away from Steve Ott, I think, when Otter left. I think Perry kind of brought a little bit that pest into him with a little bit more skill. He's doing every little thing on the ice, and I think he could be a big X factor in this series. What do you think, or who else would you think could take that role?
Well, first of all, I like the pick. But look, he to me, has gone through the biggest maturity process of a kid. You remember when he got to St. Louis, you know, you could tell him anything he believed. He was a 19-year-old kid that didn't speak English real well. And I think sometimes it frustrated guys. That he was you know, very naive to some of the things. And but that's just part of the process of growing up. But he's matured so much, and he's done such a great job of becoming a leader and becoming a guy, not necessarily like a vocal leader, but more of a leader where watch how I play, and then you know what, by example, we expect you to be better, and he expects it of himself. So I'm really impressed with what David's done this year. I think that the fans certainly are. I mean, but if you look at the management and what they thought they were getting and what they got, I think they'd be lying if they weren't telling you they were pleasantly surprised as well. I mean, they certainly knew what he was capable of, but to come here and bring in the consistent effort and the work ethic, I think, has been important. And so I like him as a guy that's an intangible. Blues can't win without the best goaltender. And, I mean, so it comes down to Dubnyk being outplayed by Jake. And if Jake does that, the Blues are going to be on the right side. And this isn't to put it all on Jake, because the Blues still got to make sure they don't give them good looks in the middle of the ice and so on and so forth. But let's face it, in the playoffs, if you get good goaltending, you give yourself a chance. These guys right now are going to need it, because there is a little bit more experience on the Minnesota side.
Goalies are a huge part of the playoffs. You could win a series by having a hot goalie one way or the other. That can't be the opposite effect. If your goalie's not playing well, you're not going to win a series. But I think, going back with Perry, though, you know, he was a young kid. He made the NHL at a young age. He never had any sort of really trouble scoring goals or anything. Like, he dominated his whole career. And then he comes in and he gets a contract at a young age. He was 18 years old. He goes to a team that pumped him up big time. It's tough. You know, you come in and you know exactly what I'm talking. You're cocky. He didn't speak very, very, he didn't speak English very well. And it's just one of those things. And he tried to kind of get his group and tried to talk to the guys, and the guys didn't really accept him that well. But God, he came back and he is unbelievably mature. I've definitely noticed that, because I was there with the Blues when he first came in. But back to, you talk about the goalies, Dubnyk versus Allen. But I think another matchup that we need to take a look at is Tarasenko versus Suter. I mean, Tarasenko has got to outplay Ryan Suter. Ryan Suter's going to be matched up against him this whole series. Am I wrong on that?
No, I would expect that. I think Scotty Stevens, man, you had Scotty. I mean, I played with him. He coached you. You know what he's about. So he's going to bring that intensity on the bench and make sure the line matchups of Suter being miserable on Tarasenko is going to be part of the game plan. Just to regress just a bit, I don't know what it was like to be cocky, and I don't know what it was like to be scoring goals at any level in bunches, but you just referred to, you know what it was like. I don't know what it was like, okay? So let's
no,
clear that
you're
up.
Telling me you're not cocky? You're telling me you're not cocky? You can, and plus, you scored 20 goals with Bobby Plegger as a coach, so you know how to score.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, and you scored a winner.
Listen, man, I'm not cocky. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Neither am I.
We have the same interest, I think, in watching the way Scotty Stevens puts together a group and the way he competes. Scotty is sometimes a little bit of an enigma, but he's certainly got the basics of how to defend and how to be a miserable player out there, and especially come playoff time. So I expect Suter, being that he's coached by Scotty and what Scott has accomplished with that group this year, to be on you know, the matchup with Vladdy. And yet, you know what? Vladdy's going to have to fight through things harder than he's had to in the past because of the name recognition now.
No doubt about it.
They circle his name now, kid, and you know it. So nobody's going to give him a free pass in the playoffs, that's for sure.
Hey, Chaser. Sorry, missed the little opening. Still hopping in my seat there. But between faceoff wins, power plays, and overall consistent aggressiveness on the ice, kind of areas that the Blues have struggled with lately, which area would you say that they really need to improve at the most heading into the playoffs to be successful against the Wild?
Starting with the puck, faceoffs. I just think, in order to win games, you have to have puck possession. And in order to have quality chances, you have to start with it. And I think the biggest, hopefully Sobotka can help in that area if he's in a situation where he starts to take some draws and stuff. But, I mean, the biggest problem they've had since Stastny's been out is not starting with the puck. It's affected their power play immensely because, you know, they're not in a situation where especially in the offensive zone, they don't start with the puck, so immediately – you know, the first thing they do is seems like they go back their own end to retrieve. And that's tough way to play the game. And so it's one of the things that I think Mini has an advantage over. And we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But if there's an improvement that they needed to win every night on a consistent basis in the playoffs, it's starting with the puck, and especially as you go on here, because some of these teams, if you take a team like Chicago, they probably have four or five set plays in their own zone off of faceoff win, just like any football team would have. And it's the one time during a game where you could have set breakouts and plays through the neutral zone, but you got to adapt. Hockey's a complete, you know, a game of you know, adapting in a hurry. But off the faceoff, everything's controlled. And I think that's the one area where the St. Louis Blues have got to be real careful they don't get themselves in a tough spot in, because if they don't start with a puck, it's going to be a hell of a long series.
Kelly Chase with us here on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. You mentioned Stasny. Chaser, do you think we see him in this series? And if not, do you think Ivan Barbashev is up to the task of a first-line center?
Well, two things. I'm not sure Barbashev will play there all the time. I think you might see Vladdy Sobotka there. The other thing is I do believe you'll see Stas. I don't think his character is the type that's going to let the playoffs go by. You know, it's not a, you know, slam dunk, but he's also he's a pretty passionate guy that is not going to want to see his team go down without him at least trying to make an impact in the series somehow. So I would expect that you'd see Stas, but again, you know, the Blues are going to have to be, you mentioned it, I mean, they're going to have to be strong by numbers, and in order to do that, you know, you're going to have some guys chip in here and there, and it might not be the consistency of, you know, the same guy every time that you're expecting, but it'll be, you know, stronger in numbers in order for them to be successful.
Chaser, we know how physical it gets to be in the playoffs, and the Blues lost a lot of their most physical presence last year with Backes and Brouwer and Ott and the guys that would really throw some bodies around. Who has to take the next step in that category to really make a go at this thing for the playoff run?
Well, in my opinion, I'm not sure how they're going to play it out before the season series ends, but a guy like Yashkin is a guy that's going to have to do that. One guy I really give a lot of credit to is Magnus Pjarvi. He's gone to the minors, could have signed over in Europe and just, you know, made, you know, a really decent living playing hockey in Europe and chose not to do that. And he chose not to do that because he wanted to prove he was an everyday player in the IHL. And this is one of the reasons why you play the game is for the playoffs. And I talked to him about it, and he said, listen, I just didn't want to be that guy that was a high pick, and everyone says, oh, maybe they took him too early. Oh, yeah, but he had a whole bunch of chances, and he never fulfilled the expectations, and I wanted to make sure I didn't do that. And I give him a lot of credit. Boy, it takes a lot to go back down to the minors three and four and five times to prove that you belong here, you know, on a full-time basis, and he did that. So from a physical standpoint, there's different ways to be threats with teams, and I guess the threat that he is with his speed. But he's still, if you notice, he's taken pucks to the middle of the ice now and dipped his shoulder and gone to the net and made plays listen, when you know you're going to get whacked with the stick, you know you're going to get, you know, hit hard, somebody's meeting you at the corner of the net and they're going to, you know, drop your shoulder into your jaw. There's a sacrifice. And I think this kid finally figured out what the sacrifice was, and so it's guys like him that are going to have to make differences, and they have a chance to change the perception of their careers. And you root for guys that you know were prepared when they got the opportunity, and he seems to be in that situation now.
What do you think Reaver needs to do in this series to be a big factor? I mean, I look at it and I tell these guys he needs to be somewhat of a bully. And I know that sounds kind of bizarre, but it's, in my mind, it's kind of true. You got to be with your hits in front of the net and your presence as a whole. You do, especially these small defensemen that they have. Am I going wrong on that, dude?
Best part of what Reaver is his skating has gotten so much better. So he gets around and he gets to the hit. So because you're getting there and you're not late, you know, you're not coming to the party halfway through it,
mm-hmm.
because of it, he's all of a sudden the referees have to say, hey, this kid's getting around. You know, we're going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. So it's not always, let's just keep our eye on Ryan Reeves when he's out there because, you know, he'll take a penalty. You know, he's still going to be, he's been very disciplined in his play, so many areas. So for Ryan, I think in order for him to, you know, to be successful, he's just got to go out there and make sure that every hit he gets the guys. Every time he makes the trip, he makes the hit. Every single time, he just got to be, like you said, a little bit of a menace, a little bit of a bully. You can call it whatever you want. He's got to make guys understand that if he's going 200 feet or 80 feet, he's going an extra three to go through them. Because Ryan Reeves is, first of all, he's the toughest guy in the league right now.
No doubt.
And he for sure gets around the ice better than any guy that has that role in the league, if there's such a thing anymore of a role like that. And I can tell you honestly, like, there's teams that are like, you know, I talk to guys in the summertime and they're like, listen, could we please just have him not come out on the ice enough?
No doubt. And speaking of that type of role, Chaser, I might as well get into this now. And I look at a guy like Matthew Tkachuk and how these new age kind of tough guys are going to come up. I look at Matthew Tkachuk as like a new age tough guy. Big, you're tough, and you're skilled. There's not going to be any more monsters cruising around like back in the day. So my question to you is, you still played, when you were sticking up for Holy every single night, you were playing in the wild, wild west still. You were racking up hundreds of penalty minutes, which you can't do anymore. What is the biggest difference between you sticking up for Holy and being that, playing that role and being that tough guy back in the early 90s, mid 90s, and what it is now? What is the biggest difference between an enforcer now and what you had to do back in the heyday?
Oh boy, there's so many differences, and believe me when I tell you, I'm not one of those guys that's a disgruntled ex-athlete, because I'm very lucky to have played and to be in the era that I was in, or I probably wouldn't have played. But I can tell you that it's just the way we are in society. You know, I mean, look, we hand out second place ribbons and like it's, oh, you know, rub my kid on the head and tell him how good he is, and you know, and I think that's just our society. And so if you were to listen, the optics of me telling a guy I'm going to go break his jaw and then actually going and doing it like I used to, you know, I mean, you'd be in jail. But that's what went on. Like, if somebody was going to take advantage of another player and bully them, I was going to make sure that they understood that, you know, if it was going to be, you know, if you're going to go and take liberties on Brett, I'm going to go take liberties on Steve Yzerman, and it usually played out in a different form. So,
but when when they take liberties on Holly, though, they were legitimately taking liberties on Brett Hall. They were cross-checking him in the back. They were slashing him. They were elbowing him. They were trying to get him to fight. Nowadays, I mean, I don't see Vladdy get hit too often. I really don't. When I do, it's like, holy cow, somebody get in there. But back then, every single shift, I could just picture it. And I watch these clips back in the day whenever, again, the Wild Wild West, every shift, Holly was getting tortured one way or the other, somehow, some way, in some game, and you had to deal with it.
I don't know. I disagree a little bit with this. Who do you think is more protected, Brett Hall or Sidney Crosby?
Well, I think the game protects Crosby more. I think the game protects him.
Well, I think Sidney Crosby gets hit more in a year than Wayne Gretzky got hit in his career.
Gretzky's,
and that's
different.
How I feel about it. And I feel like I played in that. Guys wanted to handle Twister and I. Then they knew what the, you know. I knew what the fine was. I say this all the time. I knew what the fine was in Detroit for running it at Steve Yzerman. It was Kosher and Probert.
Oh, God.
I didn't need Gary Bettman to phone me to tell me what the fine was. I knew what the fine was.
Yeah.
I didn't care what the league was fining me. I already knew what the fine was. It was those two guys. And if you want to pay the fine, you knew what it was before the game. And now, Sidney Crosby's had more concussions, have been hit in the head more times. It's hard to explain to people that didn't have the role. It's hard to explain to them that there actually was a purpose. They thought it was energy. People are like, are the fights real? And I want to say to them, well, you know, I iced my face until like about 3:30 this morning. Felt pretty real.
You know, I can't see straight. Felt pretty real. Well, I guess, all the hooking and clutching going on back then, though. I mean, you could just be more hands-on in front of the net.
But it was a slower game because of it, Cam.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the pace of the game was different, and you could manage the game differently. Now it's like guys are running 100 miles an hour and they hit a guy in the head and they don't understand why the team is, well, what did I do? He had his head. Well, I get there's not a lot of responsibility on the guy carrying the puck anymore, but there's a fine line between that and saying, well, you know what? I want to protect my teammate, because they don't do it much anymore. They don't know when to do it. They don't know how to do it. And the minute they do it where the optics are bad, everyone's arms goes up in the air and going, are you kidding me? He went after him and he punched him right in the face and the guy didn't want to fight. If you run at Brett Hall, expect to be in a fight. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you what, you can participate or you don't have to. I'm going to make sure you're in one.
Did you, Chaser, did you see Michael Haley the other day get run, kind of hit from behind by that kid from, I think, Washington, and he gets up and one punches him and gets a suspension? What do you expect? Again, if you're going to hit a tough guy from behind like that, you got. He's trying to run around and hide behind all the refs and his teammates and made a spectacle, and Haley one punched him. I mean, you deserve that. Fight the guy, pay the piper. You ran me from behind. It's a different mindset. You're absolutely
right. But the kid looked at him like he had three heads in the first place.
Yes. Like, why are you coming after me?
Why are you mad at me? I just hit you.
You
know, could have ended my career and much worse. But there's no, you know, I think the truth is, if Coley Campbell was sitting in there talking to him, he'd say, "Hey, kid, I understand what you're doing. But nowadays, you can't do it, and that's just the way it is." And that's what Coley would probably honestly tell him. You know, like I said, the year I won the King Clancy, I told those guys when they were calling from the NHL, I was sure I was getting fined for what happened in the playoffs, so I wouldn't even take the call. I was out on the out on the tractor in my yard, and my wife kept saying, "Take the call." She didn't know why they were calling. I didn't know why they were calling. I said, "I'd just take a message. You just give me another fine." And turns out I won the King Clancy, and they wanted me to fly to Toronto to come to the awards ceremony. So when the league's calling me, normally I'm not answering.
No.
Because I kind of got an expectation of what they want, and I'm not really concerned about it. So I had to chuckle about that one, though. That was one of those ones where, hey, we're going to give you something other than a fine.
You don't have to pay. We're going to give you something that you don't have to pay for. For once. Yeah. That's pretty cool, man.
We'll take it back.
You know, I think I put an extension onto somebody's apartment up there by just getting fined all the damn time. You should see it now, dude. I tell you, they fine the hell out of you, especially in American League. You can't even consult or talk to anybody about your suspension. They just, some random person, no name, no face guy will just be like, "Hey, there you go. You get 5 games and it's a match. So you got to pay 10 days of pay out of your paycheck." So it's a pretty cool process you go through in American League.
I had one of them in Montreal one time where I got fined, and I don't speak French. Twist does, so I knew it was Twist that spoke to the reporter. God. But anyways, they fined me, so I called Brian Burke. I go, "Hey, then they just take it right off your, you know, they just take it right off your check. It's not like you have a say." And I said, "Berkey, I don't even speak French. I got fined $1,500 and he said, "You know, somebody talked." I said, "Berkey, first of all, I don't speak French. Secondly, I didn't speak to any reporters. We had a line brawl, and I was out of the, I showered and out of there before they even come in. I never spoke to a reporter." So silence, and he says, "Gary wanted somebody fined, and your name's on there, so that's what happened." And I was all over him. So he came in the locker room about 2 weeks later, and I just jumped his ass and just started on him about getting money out of my pocket, and I didn't do anything, and he didn't know what to do. And when I won that King Clancy, I went to New York, and Mary Pat Clark from the NHL offices called my room and said, "Hey, just want you to know there's reservations down at this restaurant. Take a couple of the guys and go over and have dinner. You know, I wanted you to know it was part of, you know, what you did with the award." And by the end of dinner, we had a nice dinner. There was 4 or 5 of us there, and the guy's like, "Hey, just wanted you to know that Brian Burke picked up your tab. That was for the fine you shouldn't have got last year. So you can say whatever you want about Brian Burke, but that was nice of him to recognize that he knew I didn't do it, and he picked up dinner for 4 or 5 of us in New York because he knew that he dinged me $1,500. Yep. And I wasn't speaking French to any reporters in Montreal."
So Twister speaks French?
Oh, yeah. Twister's, hey, listen, I tell you all the time, I love the man to death. Smart enough to run a bank, he'd rather rob it.
You're right. Oh, Twister, we love it. Hannah, you got a question for him?
Yeah, I was just going to say that we've heard from a lot of people, a lot of journalists, and just people in general that we've talked to lately on who the Blues would rather play in the playoffs. And everyone, besides Barrett Jackman, surprisingly, has said, of course, they want to play Minnesota instead of the Blackhawks in the first round, which makes me think that some people have really let their guard down or underestimating the talent that the Wild possesses. So I guess my question to you is, what's a strong suit besides goaltending that Minnesota is really going to come out with that might surprise people and kind of catch the Blues off guard if they aren't ready for it?
Well, I just think the tenacity. I think the Blues are plenty ready for it. I think the reason that they're saying, you know, think Minnesota rather than Chicago is the obvious because of experience. I mean, there's no, you know, there's nothing that replaces experience. You know, it's a matter of, you, look, if you were to, you know, it's like driving down an old road. You know where the bumps are, the trees are that are laying across the road, and all the things that go along with it. You know you're going to be, you have a better chance of getting down that road without any problems. And that's exactly what they mean when they say they would just as soon play the Hawks as play Minnesota as the Hawks. I mean, experience. And that's what I talked to you guys about at the start of this. But I don't think that there is any way that Mike Yeo is going to go in there and let them underestimate anybody. So I think the one thing that the Minnesota really has a real keen idea on how to kind of handle teams is their tenacity. Their success at the start of the year was based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's going to be very similar here in the first round of playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chaser, man, thanks for coming on. I know you're probably going to go out to dinner and have a nice steak. But we had Petro on yesterday, and he's pumped up, and I know the guys are excited about this. It's been such a roller coaster ride with so many different things in and out, coaching change, Jake Allen going through his slump, Marty coming in, Petro getting to see. I mean, it's just so many damn things in this season. The boys should be proud of themselves. Petro's pumped up. I'm excited. The city's excited, man. If you see the boys, tell them I said hey, and good luck and ready to rock and roll, my man.
I got to tell you, thanks for having me on. And you know what? Speaking of most improved, Cam gets it. You guys have done a hell of a job working with him.
Hey, real, look, Chaser, real quick.
Pull sentences together.
Well, that's a falsehood.
Hannah, good work, Hannah.
Thanks.
Chaser, real quick, though, you've interviewed me a million times. I feel proud. I got a little tear in my eye. It's my first time interviewing you, and we've come a long way, and I just want to say that I looked up to you, man. Anytime I need something, I always call you and get your opinion on things. So I feel proud interviewing you, big dog. Don't look at me like that, TJ.
I appreciate that. It took me a while to convince you that this was the right job for you, but I'm glad you took it. You're doing well.
Thanks, my man. We'll talk soon. We'll see you when you get back, buddy.
Thanks, Chaser.
Right on.
Kelly Chase, Blues broadcaster and former Blue.
I do have
enforcer,
to say one more thing.
Just
no,
like Cam.
He was, and if me and him played in the same era, we would have the best fights ever. Me and him were both the same size, although I'm more jacked, and we would fight forever, and we both don't go down, and we both mm-hmm. last forever. We would have kicked the crap out of each other. I just wish we could possibly do that somehow.
I wish I should have brought up how you said that you would have beat him in
I
a fight.
I wouldn't whoop his ass. No. We would have beat the hell out of each other. He would have beat me one night. I would have beat him the other night. The point is we're both unbelievably willing to fight, and if we played in the same division, it would have been so damn entertaining.
So I guess we got to get Tony Twist on next
to
talk about
now that is
him.
A different story, Hannah. Now that is a different story. Twister would beat both of our asses, and that's the question I was going to ask Chaser too from Jim Patton from Remax One. He wanted me to ask him about the fight that he had with Twister at I think it was in Hartford. It might have been in St. Louis. And Twister's a different animal. Okay, Twister is a different animal. He was 275 at the time. Chaser was probably about 210.
Wow,
it's a big difference. But I just it would have been pretty cool if we both played in the same division back in the day. I think about it.
That was some great stuff, too, from Chaser.
He's
on the
great.
Difference between then, when he played, and even before, and now in terms of the protection of stars.
Yeah,
he makes a good point. And some of these big dogs do get hit all the time. Crosby gets rocked. But I don't see Vlad. I mean,
he's 225. It's hard to
Vlad
rock.
Vlad is 230.
Yeah.
You're right.
He's a bigger cat.
He's a bigger boy, but you still don't see him get hit that often.
The game's completely different.
Listen, Holtley took a beating for a while. When the early 90s, like just a little stuff, I guess, with the hooking and the clutching, that was acceptable, and that was part of the game, and that's what the point he was trying to make, is it was just more of a choppy stick work kind of game back then. Now it's all free flow, and the hits are more amplified because you're going so damn fast. So Crosby does get rocked here and there. He's just not getting the stick work like maybe Brett Hall did back in the day.
Crosby's 5'11", 200. That's why. You're talking about Tarasenko at 230 pounds. It's a little bit harder to rock those.
Yeah,
things.
No doubt.
Even you, who can line a guy up, mm-hmm. 230 pounds, it's a whole lot harder to hit that
and
dude
I tell
than
you what,
200.
And when you think you're going to rock somebody and he reverse hits you because either he's big or he's just strong on his skate or he just sees you at the last second and you hit him and you get stuck, which I like to call it, you're stuck. It ruins your game. You don't want to hit anybody else that night because it shocks you when you're expecting to run over somebody and they stand you up. It's the worst feeling in the world.
On the text line, Sugar Shane says, "Who has more chest hair, Cam or Chase?"
Probably Chase's older.
He's got back hair. I saw him the other day.
Does he? Yeah, is it coming out of his shirt?
No. He's not that grotesque. But my chest hair is coming out of my shirt right now. I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, check out the movie Ice Guardians if you want to learn more about that. Kelly Chase directed it, and that was the coolest thing. TJ, Cam, and I actually got to watch it at the premiere. I worked the premiere thanks to Chaser, and talked with all those guys, and it goes into everything you could imagine about the changing a game.
No doubt. Good movie.
It's The Line Change, driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Time for a 590 Sports Update with Matt Rocchio.
Cardinals will look to shake off yesterday's rough loss to the Washington Nationals tonight in Game 2. Lance Lynn will take the mound against the lefty Gio Gonzalez. First pitch is set for about 30 minutes from now, 6 p.m. local time. And the lineup for the Cardinals today, Fowler and Diaz as usual at 1 and 2. Molina moves into the 3-hole for tonight's game. Piscotty in at the cleanup spot. Jerko batting 5th and playing 2nd base. Peralta follows him. Grichuk in the 7th spot. And then Jose Martinez will get his first start of the year at first base. The Blues will be without Paul Stastny when the playoffs start tomorrow night, as the veteran center did not skate earlier today, which means rookie Ivan Barbashev will continue to center the top line. The note open up the playoffs tomorrow night in Minnesota. Puck drop set is for 8:30. Buffalo Sabre forward Jack Eichel had a rough night last night after he missed out on a $2 million bonus after finishing just outside the top 10 in points per game average following a pointless game 82. And former number 3 overall pick Deion Jordan has signed with the Seattle Seahawks following 2 years out of the league and a cost-serving release from the Miami Dolphins. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
How much did he miss out on?
Two schmil, baby.
2 million. He finished 5 thousandths of a point behind 10th place Leon Draisaitl, who had a 2-point
Dry
game
saddle.
To finish the game.
He plays with Pat Maroon, by the way.
And while that sucks, that's nothing compared to the guy who didn't know it was in his contract for a $2 million bonus, a football player last year, to show up for off-season workouts. His agent didn't tell him that was in there. Didn't show up, lost $2
million. Oh, fire that agent.
Yeah. Nah. Well, he got a new agent the next day.
Yeah, but the agent got you that awesome plan in the first place.
Yeah, at least tell you about it.
Well, how about you read your own contract?
Did you read your own contract?
Just the numbers part.
The Ryan Kelly Morning After will be live from Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois, coming up May 18th. That's their next TMA Live, May 18th. Make sure you go on to check that out. Brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Matt Whitener, Hannah Gates is The Line Change, driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. A 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.